It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We check in with Democratic Representative Mark Pocan of Wisconsin as Congress returns from August recess with an agenda that includes disagreements over spending levels. And there's room for your voice in this discussion about national politics. Call in with a question. Bring your perspective at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Mark Pocan represents the 2nd Congressional District, including Madison, Reedsburg, and Dodgeville. Representative Pocan, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
So Congress must pass a dozen spending bills to fund agencies before the end of September or face a government shutdown. How likely is a federal government shutdown?
Oh, boy. with the current Republican majority, I don't know how to answer that question. Normally the appropriations process isn't this messed up. During the Trump presidency, we still had people on appropriations, the committee that I serve on that do the budget bills, were people who still were rational, I guess is the best way to say it, to get things done. So, you know, there's a saying that there's Democrats, Republicans, and appropriators. The problem is when Kevin McCarthy became Speaker, part of the deal he cut in order to become Speaker was he put some of the more extremist members onto the committee, and, you know, they just didn't do their job this time for the first time ever. When Democrats and Republicans were in charge under Trump, we did our job. This is the first time we didn't. So we still haven't gotten two bills out of committee. We've only passed one on the floor with 11 legislative days to get everything done. It's unlikely that'll happen. So the only way you won't have a shutdown is if we pass a continuing resolution until some date in the future in order to give us more time to do that. And unfortunately, the Republicans have said they'll only do that with their own votes. So they have to convince their own members. And some members want to start an impeachment process against President Biden. Some want additional funding at the border and all sorts of other things. And even Kevin McCarthy is trying to tell them, you know, if we don't have a continuing resolution and we shut down government, that shut down your investigations into Hunter Biden and things that some of them really enjoy doing. But it's impossible to kind of predict because that caucus is so incredibly dysfunctional. So I'm going back today, assuming that we're going to take up the defense bill this week. But if we take up one bill this week and we have two more weeks then to do 10 more bills, as well as a farm bill, as well as a FAA reauthorization, all of those things that are due by September 30th, that's next to impossible.
Mm. You talk about the House Freedom Caucus, hardline conservatives, and, you know, seeking to cut spending for fiscal year 2024 by about $120 billion, less than what President Biden and House Speaker Kevin McCarthy had agreed to in May, and that's according to Reuters. Is that spending level achievable? Is it realistic?
Well, and that's the point, is they had an agreement with the debt ceiling that we all went through that actually downgraded the United States' financial condition and makes us pay more for our debt. And they broke it 2 weeks later because, again, of the extremists. They probably have about 40 folks in their caucus that don't function like the other, 395 members of the House. And because of that, we didn't do what we normally would do. You want to have a House position going into the budget, a Senate position, and then there's a committee that works from there. But if we don't pass those bills through the House, as Kevin McCarthy has told his own caucus, we have less negotiating stance. So the Senate budget would be in a much better position than the House budget, but they don't care. So by marking everything to 22 levels that was in violation of the agreement, and then throwing in a bunch of riders around abortion and pride flags and diversity, equity, and inclusion that are going nowhere, but it's the only way they think they can pass a bill. I mean, we haven't even gotten close to doing the job that the House needs to on the budget side. So it's not just the financial, the number levels that are unrealistic. It's the entire process, the entire product that's unrealistic.
Could McCarthy try to build a coalition of House Republicans and House Democrats to get the numbers he needs to pass the bill without conservatives? What is that calculus like?
He could, but then already Matt Gaetz from Florida and others have said they'll remove him as speaker, which is crazy, right? So the House of Representatives, they don't see us as a House of Representatives of Democrats and Republicans. They see us only as their own party, again, which is not productive and not helpful. So because of that, if he comes and gets votes like John Boehner did previously when he was speaker, or mm-hmm. Paul Ryan, he was speaker, then he'll get in trouble and perhaps lose his spot. And since you saw that week when we elected him speaker and how much he gave away to become speaker, you know, it seems that he cares more about speaker than anything. It's less likely that that will happen. Although if it was just a clean continuing resolution just to keep government open and give them more time to do the job they've had months and months and months to do, we would do that. I think it's just a matter of, I don't think he can do it because of the situation he put himself in with his caucus.
Talking with Democratic Representative Mark Pocan, represents South Central Wisconsin in Congress and looking at the fall ahead for the House and Congress. You can join in with your questions and comments at 800-642-1234. Turning to the Farm Bill legislation renewed roughly every 5 years, expires this year, and funds programs, as you know, related to agriculture and nutrition. How would you like to see the Farm Bill address the needs of farmers in Wisconsin?
Well, one, we should do the Farm Bill in a timely way, which, as I just mentioned, I don't think is going to happen because technically the current Farm Bill expires September 30th. If we get it done by the end of the year, it's still fine. We have to renew a few programs through some sort of a continuing resolution. But by January 1st, if you don't, there's some real bad ramifications that can happen for Wisconsin, especially around dairy pricing. So we kind of have to get it done. And you'd think this could be maybe less partisan, but not with this Congress. It's not. So we haven't seen language from either the House or Senate on a farm bill, which could be expected, right? Because we don't have to do it until the end of the month. I just don't see that happening in the House anyway. And again, I think hopefully the more extreme elements of the Republican caucus will allow some sort of a continuing resolution so we have more time to get it done. And to be fair, Congress seems to do everything on deadline, so that wouldn't be unreasonable. It's just so hard to predict their caucus. If for some reason they don't do that, again, we're probably all right until the end of the year. But at that point, old law around dairy pricing, milk pricing in particular, will come back. And that would devastate dairy farmers in Wisconsin.
By far, the sticking point, the largest expenditure in the Farm Bill is SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program for low-income households. You strongly oppose cuts to these programs. Talk about that sticking point in this bill and why you oppose these cuts.
Well, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program is probably the number one program in this country that keeps kids out of poverty, keeps them from going hungry. And it's about, and it changes, and it changed with COVID as well, but about $40 a week per person. Nothing, it's not an amount that keeps you from working, which is the, I think, rather ignorant argument that some have put out there, because it's such a small amount, but it is enough that it provides food assistance to those who truly are poor to help feed them. And that's the only thing the money can be used for. My freshman term, I lived on SNAP for a week. And I'll tell you, it's not fun. Back then it was, I think, $32 or $31 a week. And I bought a bag of oranges and that was like 20% of my budget. Mm-hmm. And you know, you look at the types of food you can buy for that, it's not much. And to think that that somehow is keeping people from working is an absolutely ridiculous argument. But that's the argument that some in the Republican House caucus have made. And that's why that's a sticking point for the Farm Bill. And I would hate to see that hold everything up just because some people would rather play politics than do something that's, I think, essential for this country in having a Farm Bill.
Mark Pocan, Democratic representative from Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District, as we take a look ahead at the fall agenda on Capitol Hill, where to find disagreements and bipartisan support with spending bills in the works. Call in to field a question, share your comments along the way. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Congress returns from its summer recess with a full slate of legislative priorities, appropriation bills. We get a preview of what to expect this fall in Capitol Hill with Democratic Representative Mark Pocan of Wisconsin. And you can share what's on your mind. Call in with a question, add your perspective at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Turning to Afghan refugees. A little over 2 years ago, Afghan refugees started arriving in Wisconsin. And in the past, you supported bills providing clear pathways to permanent status or expanding the number of special immigrant visas. Do you support similar measures today?
Yes. I mean, part of the problem is this is a slow process on the United States side. And part of our problem, and it relates back to the budget, when you take spending levels and go to the 22 levels, like we just talked about through the appropriations process, that's, if you just did it as across the board cut, just to give you an idea, that's a 22% cut across the board. We already don't have enough staffing to process these applications, which is a problem, and much less if you cut that further back. So what we need to do, one, is have an actual immigration policy, which we're not close to in this country because of the political polarization of the issue. But two, we do have to have enough funding to have people to process these applications, because we owe it to the people who helped us while we were in Afghanistan to be able to process these in a quicker way. If not, in some cases, people and their families are at risk from the Taliban. So it's a very unfortunate situation, possibly going to be getting worse if we don't do our jobs around the appropriations process, which is why, I've always been active, whether it be appropriations or in the state legislature, the Joint Committee on Finance. You know, where you put your money is really where you put your values. And if we don't fund these positions, we're not treating the people well who helped our country.
Turning to former President Trump, facing criminal charges in four separate cases, what is your reaction to the indictments?
Well, I'm glad to see that actually some justice may be being served, because I, for a while, was a bit skeptical myself, thinking that, he's going to get away with it, that we don't, look at former presidents in the way that maybe you should look at everyone in this country equally under the legal system. But the fact that this has occurred, clearly there were things that many of us saw that we thought were illegal. But again, I think just like Donald Trump thought he'd get away with it, we're finding that that's not going to happen. And that's good, because I think that does show that you can have a democracy where everyone is treated equally under the law. And that's what Donald Trump is facing. And he now can make a case if he claims he's innocent. If a jury finds him guilty, then he'll be guilty of these many charges that are against him. But, he always operated in a way that was a little fast and loose for how I think we looked at politics and how we looked at public service. And, if someone breaks the law, it doesn't matter who you are, you should be held accountable, even former presidents.
Brian called from Sturgeon Bay, and Brian is wondering who is pressing for the impeachment of President Trump and why. Brian feels it's a distraction because Trump will have a series of trials as he runs again for the White House. Can you respond to that?
So you're saying the impeachment of Biden?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not sure whether it's Brian is referencing the Republicans seeking to impeach President Biden, which we can also talk about here. But, first of all, with Trump, if you have a series of trials as you're campaigning, how could that affect the campaign for president?
Well, I mean, I guess, if he's not on the campaign trail. But there could be a lot of things that put people not on the campaign trail, from fundraising to, in this case, legal actions that they have to appear before the court for. Although I think there are many ways to delay legal actions as well. So it probably won't be as in the totality as people are thinking. The good news is that so far the legal system in multiple areas has said no one is above the law. And now you have to let that process happen. But you shouldn't be able to just avoid prosecution because you're running for some kind of an office. You have to be held accountable like everyone else. And I guess that's what I'm glad to see, is that there's no special treatment. This is happening in a way that if anyone broke the law or is accused of breaking the law, they would be treated. And I think that's good for a democracy.
Now to House Republicans, who are threatening to launch an official impeachment inquiry into President Joe Biden, partially based on his son's past business in foreign countries like Ukraine, and that's according to CNN. How concerned are you about a potential impeachment inquiry?
Well, I can almost guarantee there'll be an impeachment inquiry, because Kevin McCarthy's got enough of his members who said if he doesn't do it, they won't avoid a government shutdown by September 30th. So, you know, starting one doesn't mean a whole lot. If they actually try to do an impeachment, they're going to have to try to make a case, which they're not even close to be able to do that. But I think there's almost 100% certitude that we will have some sort of impeachment inquiry begin, because it's the only way Kevin McCarthy is going to be able to move forward, because some of his people, like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who, by the way, just yesterday talked about a succession of states from this country again. I think she has said some of the most dangerous things that are worthy of censure. And it's something I've got to talk to some of my colleagues when we get back. But it's those extremists that are pushing this. And when you only have a 5-seat majority like Kevin McCarthy has, or actually 4, because someone's now gone, it's the tail wagging the dog. Any handful of members can speak for that caucus, because they can hold the caucus up.
We have Democratic Representative Mark Pocan, represents South Central Wisconsin in Congress, as we look at the fall agenda on Capitol Hill. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Turning to Wisconsin, where Republicans are threatening to impeach newly elected Justice Janet Protasiewicz from the state Supreme Court. Republicans say Protasiewicz can't be impartial on cases involving the redrawing of election map cases because she called the current maps, quote, rigged during her campaign. Has Justice Protasiewicz violated a code of conduct?
I think the violation of a code of conduct is coming from the Republicans in the Wisconsin legislature who are recommending this idiotic idea. And the reason I say it's idiotic is for this reason. If the legislature, anytime they don't like a pending case before the Supreme Court, can find any reason to say they're going to impeach a justice, and that would hold up the court from being able to act, or at least that justice in a small body from being able to act, that's not what that process is intended for. Impeachment is very specific in statute for wrongdoing, and this doesn't match anywhere near that. In fact, all she said was what is rather obvious from the math, that, you know, when 54% of the people vote for a Democrat for state assembly, you get 36 of the 99 seats with that vote. Clearly, there's an imbalance, and that is a rigged set of maps. But she never talked about the process and said that the legislature, whether or not they had the ability to do those rigged maps. The bottom line, though, is if the legislature makes this their new standard, they can hold any Supreme Court justice liable for anything and hold up the entire court. And that is not a separation of powers. This is just an attempt to keep the maps that are rigged in place, as well as keep the abortion law that's from 1849 in place, and as well as do whatever they want to. They're acting as though they're above the court, not a co-equal branch. And this would be a very, very dangerous move if they do this. If they do this, I predict there'll be many repercussions that happen from the people of Wisconsin. The people voted in a big way for Janet Protasiewicz. She hasn't even had a case before her yet. And to say that you're going to impeach a judge who hasn't had a case before them is beyond ridiculous.
What I'm hearing from you is that impeaching her would nullify an election.
It would nullify an election, but also it would nullify a separation of powers, because you're saying that the legislature at any time could threaten impeachment on any judge for any decision pending that they think they don't like. And that's not what the impeachment process is used for. It's very specific in statute. It's there for wrongdoing, not for politics. And if they go this route, there will be huge ramifications. So I hope that even, people who may not agree with Janet Protasiewicz on where they think her she's going to be on issues would realize how dangerous this could be abused by either party in the future if they go down this. And that's the bottom line. It's not about one idiot or
Representative
another. It's
Pocan, thank you for joining us.
Sure. Thank you.
Mark Pocan, Democratic representative from Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.